Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Spotify Green Room. It's the live, audio-only sports talk platform. It's free to download and use. You can talk to our fans, athletes, insiders in real time. Who knows? I mean, you know, you have a watch party with your buddies, say, for instance, a Raiders and, you know, whoever they're playing watch party, Raiders and Chiefs maybe. Who knows? Maybe John Gruden shows up to your watch party because he's, you know, he doesn't have a whole lot to do lately now. I mean, pretty much his week is freed up. His weekends are free. Nobody's really going to hire him at this point. I mean, I'm sure he's got plenty of money. He's financially secure. And, you know, why not, you know, go and hang out and have a watch party, you know. Just tell them to keep the comments to a minimum, you know. Just talk about the game. Don't talk about any name calling or whatnot. All you got to do is go to the iOS App Store or Google Play Store, download, link your Twitter, join a group, and you come with your spiciest takes. All right, guys, welcome to another Pit Panther Rants, another Sportsman's Podcast. Vlad Harris, your host, brought to you by the Sports Drink. Sip, sip, gulp, gulp, whatever our slogan is, or drink up, whatever. Now, as you all know, the breaking news, excuse me, I'm getting some water, was that John Gruden was fired from his job last night. There were some emails, I guess, that went out during this whole Redskins lawsuit going on, where I guess Dan Snyder's about to no good, especially with those Redskins cheerleaders. I will say that Redskins cheerleaders were my favorite cheerleaders of the NFL. In fact, one of them sent me an autographed calendar by them, I think 2017. I have the calendar. And let's just say it's a really nice calendar. I mean, really, really nice. Probably the best calendar I've ever had. It was autographed. It was personalized to me and everything. I mean, the cheerleaders were great. Very nice. And, you know, I'm not sure, you know, what they went through with Redskins management. I know they had all this came up, and the Redskins' response to this was to make the cheerleading squad co-ed and basically piss off the Redskins cheerleaders for the most part. But through all this, John Gruden's emails came out. Initially, he made a comment about the players' union guy, I think it was a players' union guy, talk about his lips, and I guess the context was debatable, and I guess the Raiders were looking to move on from it. But then Gruden made some other comments about, you know, ownership and the commissioner. And, you know, I know the context of those, but the point is, the big reason why he was fired from the, he was ultimately fired, was because he went after ownership and the commissioner. So when you go after those two groups, you're pretty much done, because you report to an owner, and he has to deal with the owner, other owners that you probably trashed, and the commissioner as well. And, you know, basically, you know, so it's easier, basically, at that point to fire the coach. But at the end of the day, it boils down to the accountability is on John Gruden. I mean, these are things you just don't do in emails, because they're in digital form. And believe it or not, I mean, if you're working for a company and they're in some type of litigation or whatnot, emails do get played into, and sometimes your emails may get searched, or if you're talking to somebody or having some sort of relationship, whether it's business, personal, whatever, with somebody who's involved in that lawsuit, your emails are going to be in there. So whatever you're saying to this person is going to be there. Basically in lawsuits, especially when it involves emails, lots of dirty laundry gets aired out. And on top of that, when you leave a company, there's a good chance the person you work for is going to ask, you know, for access to your email box. And so before you leave a company, if you got personal conversations in there, delete them. That's all I can tell you. But if you're in a conversation with somebody and they leave the company or they're fired or, you know, laid off, you know, 9 times out of 10, they're going to have their emails accessed from the manager. And if you've got some sort of conversations going on, those, whether it's personal or maybe you're having an affair, whatever. Yeah, it's a lot of dirty laundry. I mean, if you're gonna best bet if you're doing these type of things is to keep it off company email, especially if it's the messages as well. I mean, some companies do save copies of your chats depending on the configuration. And some people do save your, can and will save your chats as well. So if you know somebody who is kind of a snake, kind of a suck up, it's better not to engage them in any kind of instant messaging that could compromise you. I mean, if you have to have a chat with them, do it word of mouth or face to face. Or over company phone we can't be recorded, because cell phone conversations can be recorded as well. I mean, there's ways of doing it. So all in all, guys, just when you're on, and women as well that listen to this, keep, you know, your business professional, whatever, you know, at work. You know, if there's someone that likes you or whatever and you guys are buddies, try to keep it at a separate email. That's not company related. That can't be held against you. And of course, whatever remarks you have to say, like John Gruden did, if you have those beliefs, I would just keep them out of the job. Keep out of work in general. I mean, you don't, especially with politics. I don't discuss politics, religion, and whatnot. Everything with me is just it's work. That's it. And that's the way to keep it. Now, Pitt had the bye week. Pat Narduzzi had his press conference yesterday. And, well, Pat obviously made a comment that his team isn't getting any respect, which I totally understand. You're 4-1 and you have a possible Heisman candidate. And he's not getting much. You know, he's starting to get some Heisman love, but not much. Well, I think if Kenny Pickett played for like Oklahoma, he probably gets a lot of love, because Oklahoma has produced a bunch of Heisman candidates, and they've had 3 Heisman winners since 2000. Jason White, Kyler Murray, I think Baker was the third one. Yeah, there could be more. I think White was nominated a few times as well. I think he was nominated twice, I believe. And I think Sam Bradford was a nominee, or maybe it was Bradford. No, I don't know. I know that basically these guys were either nominees or winners. But I know for a fact they've had 3 Heisman winners since 2000. Kenny was obviously a more of a bigger program, he would get more love than what he's getting right now. He's not, so it is what it is. Pat Narduzzi's not happy because they're not getting respect, because, you know, they've, you know, they're 4-1. But let's look at the, let's take a look at the Pat Narduzzi through the years. All right, let's take a look. 2015, you know, they lose to Iowa. That was out of his hands, because a lot of these wins were, you know, basically he's taking over a team, you know, what Paul Christ had. Year 2, he had a really dynamite team. They lose Oklahoma State. They lose at Oklahoma State. Then they lose at North Carolina. They lose Virginia Tech. They lose to Miami. They finished 8-5. I think 8-4 wasn't still a respectable season. They have a bowl game against Northwestern. Northwestern, they ranked 23rd. Pitt was. They lose 31-24. 2017, Pitt finishes 5-7, and I think that speaks for itself. Let's take a look. Let's take a look at the record. I mean, the standings. Let's see here. And of course, they don't have. Well, they have the game by games, but differently. Let's see. They start out at 1-3. They lost. They got beat by Penn State. They are thrashed by Oklahoma State at home. They lose at home to Georgia Tech. Well, not home. They were on the road against Georgia Tech and lost that game. And let's see. They lose to Syracuse, and Syracuse is just Syracuse. All in all, this was just, I mean, this really was not just a, this wasn't a really good team. I mean, they rebounded from Miami and won that game. 2018, they, you know, after that big win against Miami, they play Penn State at Heinz Field and lose 51-6. And of course, they start out 2-3 this year because they lost to North Carolina because they can't stop the spread, and they get thrashed by Central Florida. You know, they lose at Notre Dame, and they close out their Of course, they lose to Miami 24-3. I mean, they still won the ACC Coastal Division. Clemson destroys them, and of course, they go to the Sun Bowl to play Stanford, lose 13-10, and Stanford was horrible. Of course, 2019, they lose at Penn State. They lose to probably, I think Miami was very mediocre, and they find a way to lose to them, as always. Got shut out at Blacksburg, and they lose to Boston College. And Boston College is very mediocre. And of course, last year, they start out 3-0, and they lose to a, you know, mediocre NC State team. Boston College missed extra point in overtime. Of course, they lose at home to Notre Dame 45-3. They finished, I believe, was it 6-5 this year? But you're seeing the rundown of the schedule, right? There's some pretty disturbing trends. And that is, well, Pitt, for the most part, has averaged about 7 wins a year. And when you lose certain games, there's a reason why you're not going to be ranked at 4-1. Or ranked ever, hardly ever. Because you are what you are. You're not really ranked, but you're just always on the outside looking in, year out. And people just aren't, even though you're 4-1 and you have a really hot quarterback, people still aren't going to take you seriously. So you have to go out and, you know, prove yourself. And I think he mentions that later in the quotes. But, I mean, if you feel like you're being disrespected, do something constructive about it for once. Don't bitch about it in your press conference or whatever. And then, you know, lay an egg, and, you know, which they possibly can at Blacksburg. So, I mean, this, you know, when you're pretty much a 7-5, 6-6 team, I mean, you're either going to be, you have two choices. You could be either really good or really bad. Or otherwise you're just in the middle as always. It's just a constant. It's like one of those, you know, those waves, not like a sine wave where you're going up and down. I'm out of my element there. But I mean, basically peaks and valleys. Either really good or really bad. Pitch basically is just a straight line for the most part. Nothing too exciting. So they have this Saturday at Blacksburg to do something about it. And of course, they came off a disappointing loss, Virginia Tech did, which we'll get into in a minute. But again, let me tell you about Spotify Green Room. It's the live audio-only sports talk platform. It's free to download and use. You can talk to other fans, athletes, insiders in real time. Have watch parties, get with your buds, and who knows, maybe somebody shows up. Maybe John Gruden shows up. You know, hopefully he's not too drunk or whatnot. And, you know, I'm not sure if these get recorded, but if he's in there and he's making some disparaging remarks, it's probably a good idea to probably leave that room and go to another watch party, because you don't want your excuse me, you don't want your name to get dragged because of this guy. I mean, I sure as hell wouldn't. So yeah, just get out of there and find a right group, and you know, and who knows who will show up at the next, you know, watch party or next group you're doing. And all you gotta do is just download it, iOS App Store, maybe Google Play Store. Link your Twitter, and you know what, and just, you know, have some fun with it. Grab some friends and maybe some fellows on Twitter, and then do some spicy things and spicy takes. All right, now let's do a recap of what happened this past weekend. Let's look at ACC. Virginia Tech and Notre Dame. This game was a pick 'em. I thought Notre Dame would. Well, I didn't think. I picked Notre Dame to win it, you know, over the weekend. But I had them. I had the over on this at 47, and they hit 50. Let's see, 61. So yeah, I'll take a win there. Wake Forest and Syracuse. I had Wake winning outright. Oh, I'm starting off really good. Although my parlay suffered. Florida State. I said take the plus 17.5. I won that one. It was hilarious because I didn't place any bets for these, and I probably should start doing that. I had UVA winning this game. And they won that one. I had the under, though, and I think this game, I'll take an L for that one. I mean, it may have pushed, but you know what? It's the same thing. You're not winning anything. Georgia Tech beats Duke. I had GT winning that one. So let's see. Overall in the ACC this weekend, I was 1-1-1, 3-1. I was 5-1 in the ACC this weekend overall. Now, top 25 is a different story. That was pretty horrible. But looking at the ACC overall, Syracuse gave Wake a hard time. And, I mean, I'm sorry with Syracuse. I mean, you got to start winning more games than what you're doing. I mean, they've had some close calls, but, yeah. I was tempted to take Duke and over Georgia Tech, but I figured Tech would pull this one off. After last week, I think they were going to be hungry. Virginia barely won against Louisville. I just, for some reason, I had a feeling Louisville was going to fuck that one up. Florida State, North Carolina was a very surprising one, but I said take the 17.5. But North Carolina overall screwed that one up. And of course, ESPN's autoplaying the damn fucking highlights. Excuse my language. Now let's take a look at the rest of the top 25, because I know I did really horrible in this one. Let's see. Well, I had Stanford take with the plus 13. Oh, that was a bad loss. Oof. Arizona State and Herm Edwards destroyed them. Alabama and A&M. I mean, you obviously take Alabama in this one because you figure A&M's going to jack it up like they always do. But I don't know what happened there, but I was wrong on that one. Georgia and Auburn. Oh, cool. I got them to win column with Georgia. How about that? Let's see. Penn State and Iowa. I took Iowa. And we'll get into that in a moment. Because, yeah. That was a pretty interesting one. Oklahoma and Texas. I had Texas winning that one. And it looked really good. And, of course, Texas. Sark must have been drinking because that's how it goes. Ohio State won. So that's an obvious win. Michigan State won. Yep. Win there. Oh, cool. I'm doing good in the W call. You know, I'm winning some games in the top 25. Awesome. Arkansas barely lost to Ole Miss. That was an L. I took a loss there. West Virginia got waxed on the road, so that's an obvious one. I figured they would win that game. I had UMass winning over UConn. I had Texas Tech being TCU. That was a bad one. Yeah, I had a really bad weekend when it came to the top 25 and rest of the games. Let's see. Where's USC at in this map? SMU won. Let's go back to the Pac-12. I mean, did they not? Oh, here it is. Yeah, USC got thrashed by Utah. So I was 5-1 in the ACC. Top 25 is going to be pretty ugly. Well, let's see. 0-2, 2-2, 2-3, 4-3, 4-4, 4-6, 5-6, 5-7. Oof, that's a tough burn. So I was 5-1 in ACC. So overall, I was 10-8, which isn't bad. But if you're gambling straight up, it's nothing pretty to look at. I did a $5 parlay in the NFL on Sunday. I had every game right except for Eagles and Carolina. And if it wasn't for the Carolina being Carolina, I probably would have won that game. I probably would have been $400 richer. It was $5 to win $425. And yeah, it sucked. That was a shitty loss. I was mad at Sam Darnold because, you know, the block punts sucked. But for obvious reasons, the block punt blew. Nobody likes to lose to a block punt, but Sam Darnold's been playing it like ass for the last 2 weeks, and I think Sam Darnold just is what he is, and you just have to accept it. That's just how it is. All right. Now, look at some other things. Yeah, Penn State and Iowa. I watched this game, and I mean, I thought Iowa would handle them pretty good. But Penn State came out ripping and roaring. Iowa had no answers for Sean Clifford. Clifford gets hurt. Their backup comes in, and Iowa comes back to win this one. I had a Penn State fan, a buddy of mine, actually. He's a Penn State, you know, we've been buddies for a long time. And Penn State fan, and I've mentioned, I sent a text saying that Iowa didn't deserve to win this game. And he said, oh, you know, it must be miserable being a Schittsburg fan. I'm blocking you, bro. Yeah, so he got mad and blocked me. And I wasn't rubbing it in. I lamented with him because I'm sure the loss was very frustrating. And, yeah, Iowa really didn't deserve to win this game. But I think you got to fault the Penn State staff for this because they've had changes at the quarterback position. Well, not so much changes at the quarterback position, but they've had changes as offensive coordinator so much. They lost one of their backups, and he transferred to Kentucky. And, of course, this quarterback came in here, and he was just not prepared. And he just couldn't handle it. I mean, normally if you have a backup, you try. I mean, he had game breakers. He had really good players he could get the ball to, but he couldn't even do that. I mean, he was just hopeless. So, yeah, Iowa did not deserve to win this game. But if you're a Pitt fan, you obviously, like myself, you take pleasure in this loss. But from a Penn State's perspective, I can see why they're pissed off and why they're frustrated. Because everything's going right for you, then your quarterback goes down, and then this happens. But, yeah, I would be mad at the staff. Because to have a quarterback come in there that badly unprepared, there's no excuse for that. And on top of that, he's been there for 2-3 years now, so he should have some sort of competence in him, and he didn't. So that's just that. But anyways, guys, hail to Pitt. Talk to you later.